Hello and welcome back to the Baseball Aesthetic. It has arrived. Opening day 2025 is on Thursday, and I am so excited for it. We're going to have baseball every day until mid-July for the All-Star break starting on Thursday, and I just cannot wait for it to finally get started. As you can see right here, I have some celebratory goodies. I'm in Cincinnati, so it's a big deal in Cincinnati, and I got a couple of these Cincinnati Reds-themed foods, which is part of the baseball aesthetic. That's why I created this, because I love baseball, but I love things that are associated with baseball. I love all of the foods and the jerseys, just kind of all of the things that make baseball so great. So I have the Cincinnati Reds double donut from UDF, which is kind of our version of a Wawa. Great snacks and goodies in there. And then Buskin Bakery is a Cincinnati staple, and they have great donuts and cakes and cookies, so had to get the Reds cookies as well. So I will definitely be enjoying those snacks while I'm watching opening day on Thursday. But it is here, and I cannot wait. Like I mentioned before, I am in Cincinnati, a lifelong Cincinnati resident and Cincinnati Reds fan. So opening day, it just means more here. And if you aren't from Cincinnati, you're thinking, oh, opening day, it's a big deal. But in Cincinnati, opening day, it's not an official holiday. But if you ask anyone from Cincinnati, it isn't an official holiday. I remember growing up in school, the game usually was at 1 o'clock starting time. And you know, if some of your friends or classmates weren't at school that day, you just knew, okay, they are downtown or they had tickets to the Reds game, you know, people missing work. It was just kind of like excused. It was known, hey, if you're not here at work or on school on opening day, then we know where you're at. And you always, you know, I always felt like it was so fun to, if you happen to get tickets for opening day, get to miss school or leave school early, and just that was so fun. Been to numerous opening days in Cincinnati. There's a parade. It is a big deal in Cincinnati. It is a holiday. So, you know, it is a sign of things to come. And I think that's the real the vibes around opening day, is that, you know, as maybe bad as the team that you root for did last year, there's always a little hope, a little excitement that maybe it'll be different this year. You know, the saying goes that everyone starts 0-0. It's a long season and you never know what might happen. So there is always that little bit of hope on opening day for fans of teams that maybe this year will do it. And maybe, you know, you're a little jaded from last season, how your team did, or maybe you're upset about the trades that your team made or didn't make in the offseason. But all of that kind of comes through on opening day, that there's just a little bit of that hope. And then speaking from my perspective on this as well, like from a Midwestern state, if you're like me and you know it's been a long, cold, and dark winter, opening day is sort of that signal of summer is on its way. Green grass, brighter sun, just longer days, and being out of school for the summer. I was always so excited for opening day growing up because I knew it was like, okay, opening day's here. That means summer break is not too far off in the distant future, and I get to have, you know, no school and have baseball kind of as my soundtrack of summer. So opening day, I think it just brings back a lot of vibes and a lot of memories, memories of going to games. And baseball itself is still America's pastime, and it is a sport where you can enjoy the foods and the aesthetics of baseball. And I just think that's so important when it comes to opening day, is that it signifies hope for your teams, and it signifies sort of, you know, for some of us, like, hey, some warmer, sunnier summer days are on the way. So spring training has come and gone. We're into opening day. And spring training is always a little interesting for some of the stats that you see, some of the players who are really standing out, you know, doesn't always translate into regular season. You have a lot of young players who are playing and trying to make the rosters. And especially this year, you have some young players for some teams that it's actually pretty surprising that they didn't make the roster. You kind of have to think that they're going to be up in the major leagues before too long. But spring training felt a little different this year to me, and I'm not really sure why exactly. Maybe I was paying a little bit more attention to it, but it felt a little bit more competitive. It felt like some of the star players or players who were pretty much locks to make the team were playing in the early preseason games as opposed to maybe kind of waiting to closer to the season. I'm not sure if that's, you know, taking some stats and accounts for last year of kind of how some players and teams maybe started out the season, and did that have a negative impact? And maybe that's why, you know, some of these players were playing more games and starting more games early in spring training. But something about it definitely felt a little bit more competitive or a little bit more serious this year. And that just might be my observation and not true at all, but that's what it felt like to me. And then obviously with spring training, you do deal with some of the disappointment, some of the injuries that your team that you cheer for, like, experience in spring training. That is the downside, is that it's exciting to see the players and see some of these young guys play, but you're always going to deal with injuries, and that really came true for some of these teams, particularly the New York Yankees, right, dealing with Gerrit Cole having Tommy John surgery, so he'll be out all of this season and then some of next season as well. With Giancarlo Stanton as well, didn't play at all in spring training, hasn't really played, done any baseball, kind of wondering, is he going to even suit up for the Yankees this season? Chicago White Sox, I know, had numerous pitchers who started spring training healthy and then ended spring training by going to have Tommy John surgery, particularly Drew Thorpe. And, you know, the disappointment of, you know, hoping that the White Sox would have a better season than their really bad year last year, and then facing that disappointment in spring training of all these pitchers needing Tommy John surgery and kind of like starting out the season sort of behind already, you know, and then some pitchers, Shane McClellan for the Tampa Bay Rays also dealt with that. So you have these issues that pop up in spring training that kind of give a little bit of maybe not as much hope for some of these fan bases, but, you know, obviously it's a long season to see how that turns out as the season progresses. And then you also have some also hope for players coming back from injuries. I know the Braves are a team that, you know, was having Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna Jr., who are coming back from injuries, getting them some reps in spring training, that they're not far off from joining the major league team and playing in those games before too long. So giving that some of a hope. Shane Bieber, I know, for the Cleveland Guardians, also, you know, gearing back up from that injury, ready to go. Christian Yelich from the Brewers. So spring training, you know, you had the disappointment of facing some injuries, and then you also have some of that hope for some of those players that are returning, seeing them in spring training action, knowing that back to their MLB games not far off in the distant future. So looking at opening day home run leaders, there are three players who are tied for the most opening day home runs with 8, and kind of an interesting list here. Starting out, not a big surprise, was Frank Robinson. He did it with 4 different teams across 3 different decades, including the Reds, the Orioles, the Angels, and Cleveland. Next up is, again, not a big surprise, but it is Ken Griffey Jr. Now, interesting for Ken Griffey Jr. is that none of his opening day home runs came while wearing a Cincinnati Reds uniform. Played a big portion of his career for the Cincinnati Reds, but had no opening day home runs for the Reds. But funny enough, he went back to Seattle towards the end of his career and had an opening day home run in 2009 after that stint with the Reds. And last up is Adam Dunn, Cincinnati Reds, Chicago White Sox, maybe played for the Oakland Athletics, maybe another team in there, but had a 16-year career, and he also had 8 opening day home runs, including 5 during his time with the Cincinnati Reds. So Cincinnati kind of represented well in these opening day home runs, but Adam Dunn, Ken Griffey Jr., and Frank Robinson all are tied for the most opening day home runs. So an interesting thing happening this season is there is 2 teams that are playing in a minor league ballpark stadium. 2 MLB teams are going to have their home stadium being minor league ballparks. Obviously, if you've been following the news, the now defunct Oakland Athletics, who are making their hopeful home in Las Vegas in the future, are playing this season in Sacramento at a minor league ballpark stadium until they make that official move to Las Vegas. But they will have their games in a minor league ballpark. And then Tampa Bay Rays are actually playing in the spring training home of the New York Yankees, George M. Steinbrenner Field. That's where they are going to play their home games. It is located in Tampa, so they're going to play their home games there instead of Tropicana Field, which obviously dealt with the destruction from the hurricane over the winter, so they was not able to play their home games there this season. So they will be in Tampa still, but playing outdoors in a spring training / minor league ballpark. So interesting to see kind of how that will come into play. I think for the Athletics, it's not going to be that big of a deal for them, and I almost wonder if it's going to have a little bit of a positive impact. You're looking at kind of how the Athletics would play at the Coliseum for the past years. You know, huge ballpark, never really that full. And does that have sort of a negative impact on the players there when you have this giant ballpark that has a ton of empty seats? Now you're going to a smaller ballpark, but more densely packed fans. How does that change the vibes? And how does that change the experience for the Athletics and particularly for the players? Does it have any sort of impact on it? And I can see that it having kind of a positive impact. I think that, you know, this minor league ballpark, even though it is a minor league ballpark, it probably has maybe some upgraded things that the Coliseum did not have. And I just think that because of the different vibe and, you know, maybe the outlook or the sighting that the players or the batters see with this ballpark instead of kind of that concrete jungle that was the Coliseum, is that going to have a positive impact on the Athletics? Obviously, it would be kind of a wait and see situation, but I think that's going to have, I can't see it having much of a negative impact on the Athletics. And for Tampa, you know, they have played their whole career inside a dome ballpark. How is it going to affect now as they go outside? Obviously, they're used to playing outside on road games, but as the home ballpark now being outside, does that change some of the home stats that we've seen from the Tampa Bay Rays over their lifespan of their organization? Now that they go outside, does that affect that? So I'm really interested to see kind of the end of the year stats of how this season, how the home games for Tampa Bay transpired being outdoor stadium versus the dome that they were in. And again, I think it's, you know, probably doesn't have much of a negative impact. Tropicana Field, never been there, but, you know, on TV, it doesn't look like the most beautiful ballpark I've ever seen. So, you know, does it make a difference to these players as they're now experiencing baseball kind of in new aesthetics, if you will? Speaking of aesthetics, obviously we talked about food, and that's the awesome part of baseball. I also wanted to talk about the uniform changes and some things that are happening this year. So the Chicago Cubs have announced that they are going to be rocking a new alternate jersey this year. They are going to be wearing those on Fridays, and it is that kind of powdery blue jersey. Actually, a really cool jersey. I like these Cubs jerseys. The alternate jerseys are really great. Have a really cool logo, a Cubs logo, kind of an alternate logo on the chest, and then kind of some other logos on the sleeve, but a great color. I think it's going to look really cool on those Friday games at Wrigley, so excited about those alternate jerseys for the Cubs. Kansas City also is going to be wearing their powder blues, and they're going to be wearing those for every Saturday home game. Those are phenomenal jerseys as well. I love these teams kind of going back, sort of kind of that retro vibe. The powder blue is just a great baseball color. It looks so good on the field. So that's going to be great for the Kansas City Royals every Saturday home game wearing those powder blues. The Baltimore Orioles announced that they are going to be pairing their orange jerseys that they have previously worn with this season wearing orange pants to match that. Orange and orange, gonna look really cool. I saw the pictures of it. I think it's awesome. I think it'll be really cool if players choose to wear high black socks. So you're gonna have the orange jersey, the orange pants, and the high black socks. There were two new City Connect jerseys that were just most recently announced with the Houston Astros and the Washington Nationals. The Houston Astros really going into the space theme, and I like these jerseys and these uniforms a lot. Kind of a 90s retro vibe to them a little bit. They actually just say Stros on them. They don't even say Astros, but there is a little bit of that 90s vibe, which I love because that's when I grew up, so seeing the 90s vibe is awesome. But really like the hats, really like kind of the connection that they're using with space and sort of the NASA theme with their City Connect jerseys. And then the Washington Nationals announced their new City Connect jerseys that are going to be replacing their old Cherry Blossom City Connect jerseys. And these are interesting. I can't decide what I really think of them yet. I will say that there is a lot of intrigue about them because the jerseys themselves are blue and kind of like a denim-y look, but they have like an outline in a faded little bit, an outline of the city, kind of the city streets and the city map ingrained in the jerseys, and they actually have a little spot on the map where a Nationals Park is, and they have that highlighted on the jerseys. They have a really cool logo that they did with the W that now has an outline of the Capitol Building Rotunda in it. That's going to be on the hats and on the jersey sleeve. And that's a really cool look as well. They are also adding in some of the cherry blossoms as well. But I really liked these two jerseys because it really like is showing that it is a city connected jersey. They're connecting the city of where they're playing with what's happening, you know, outside of the city to the jersey. So it really is like an official City Connect jersey. So I really like how they are being, have a real emphasis on that connection jerseys. The Houston one's great. I think I like the Washington Nationals one. I'm interested to see it once it's on the field, but I do like the design and the ideas behind the jersey very much so. We are also supposed to get six other new City Connect jerseys this season. They have not been announced yet, but we know the teams that they're going to be. Those teams are Arizona, the Chicago White Sox, the Boston Red Sox, Colorado Rockies, Miami Marlins, and the San Francisco Giants. There's been some rumblings around and rumors that the Boston Red Sox one might have green or be green, obviously looking at the Green Monster. I think that could be an interesting color. There's not a lot of green in baseball right now, or if any green in these jerseys. So I think that would be A really cool touch. So interested to see how those are for the Red Sox. And I know they're already created, but I am just hoping that the Arizona Diamondbacks had a little bit of that 90s vibe again with the purple or the teal and their City Connect jerseys. I think that would be really cool. So we got six more City Connect jerseys being unveiled at some point this season. And obviously with the season starting, like, it's going to be before too long. So really interested to see how those other City Connect jerseys come out. The New York Mets also are debuting a new road blue uniform, and it is a pullover, which is great. Love that look. A pullover, kind of a little bit of a V-neck to it as well, but a blue jersey with orange script New York on the front. Really cool jerseys, like those a lot. The Cleveland Guardians sort of updated some of their style and print on theirs, and they have a new road blue jersey as well. The Seattle Mariners aren't changing their jerseys, but they are adding a patch to their sleeve this year, and it will be a Nintendo patch, which I kind of love. Obviously, played Nintendo growing up, so I love that they're going to have that Nintendo patch on their sleeve. And the Cincinnati Reds will be honoring the late Pete Rose this season with a number 14 patch on their sleeve as well. And last, the All-Star Game. I know in the past there's been a little bit of some controversy of going back to the old style All-Star Game jerseys. So they are doing that this season. So they will have the All-Star Game sort of National and American League jerseys that everybody wears for the workouts and the Home Run Derby. But when it comes to the game this season, they're going back to what it used to be, where the home team will wear the white and the gray, and the away team will wear the gray, and they will have the players wearing their team official jerseys, which I really like. I think that's an important sight when you're watching it on TV, especially for your team. If you have your team that, you know, you're excited about, you're playing, being in the All-Star game, to see them wearing their team jersey as opposed to just a National or American League jersey, I think is really great. So on the actual All-Star game, players will be wearing their official team jerseys as well. All right, so I know it's kind of impossible to predict. Baseball is a long season, and there's no way to know what's going to happen. But I like to kind of go through the standings and predict where I think that some teams are going to be this year. So starting out at the AL West, the Houston Astros won that division last season. I think the Astros are going to be probably right around the same of where they were last season. I can't see them taking a huge step off, but I do see the Texas Rangers stepping up, and I do see the Texas Rangers winning that division. And I do believe that the Seattle Mariners could be competing for a wild card spot. I know there was some thinking behind the Seattle Mariners having a bad offseason, as they did not, you know, improve a lot of their offensive ability. They have great pitching, great defense. It's a pitcher's ballpark. They led in a lot of categories last season in the pitching stats, in a good way, where they did not give up a lot of hits, did not give up a lot of runs. So pitching staff is great for the Seattle Mariners. But, you know, as disappointed as you can be that Seattle Mariners didn't really improve in the offseason, in order to get something, you have to give away something. So maybe the Seattle Mariners didn't want to give away pitching or give away other talent that they believe could help them. So I think the pitching will be great with Seattle again. I think they'll get some, I think they'll be a little bit better offensively. And I can see the Seattle Mariners competing for that wild card spot. Like I mentioned before, the Athletics, I think they're going to take a step up from being what they were last season. I think the ballpark is going to help. That's just my thought about it. So I think the Athletics will be a little better this season. And then the Los Angeles Angels, you're going to have a healthy Mike Trout. They did not have him for 95% of the season last year. So a healthy Mike Trout this year, I think, will make an improvement in the LA Angels. Don't really see them competing for that wild card spot right now, but that would be a great surprise if they did, because I would like to see a more successful Los Angeles Angels because of Mike Trout. So I think the AL West is going to go to the Texas Rangers, and I believe that Houston and Seattle will be battling it out for the wild card, and I'm not sure if they're going to make either one yet because the AL East is pretty good. So we'll see about that. But Texas is going to be predicting winning that division and step up from teams like Seattle and the Los Angeles Angels. AL Central, the Cleveland Guardians won that division last year, and two wild card teams came from that division, the Detroit Tigers and the Kansas City Royals. Kansas City Royals are going to be right there again. I think they have a young team. They have an exciting team. Cleveland is getting back Shane Bieber at some point, probably earlier in the season, so that's going to really improve their pitching staff. I can see Cleveland being right in there as well, but you know, it would not be a surprise if Cleveland ended up winning the division or Kansas City, and one of those teams also took one of the wild card spots as well. You're hoping the Chicago White Sox have a better season than they did last year. I don't know if it can get much worse, so I think they'll take a little bit of a step up on it, but you know, I can't see them really doing anything towards the wild card with that as well. But AL Central, pretty competitive division, but do believe it's going to come down to Cleveland or Kansas City winning that division. AL East, this one I think could be a little bit of a surprise. You know, last year the New York Yankees won that division. Baltimore had the wild card. Baltimore is a great, young, exciting team. New York Yankees obviously dealing with the loss of Gerrit Cole, the uncertainty around Stanton. You know, what's that going to look like for the Yankees this season? I'm not sure, but they're the Yankees, so they're going to be good. They still have a powerful lineup. Even though they lost Juan Soto, I think the Yankees are still going to be the team to beat in that. But Baltimore is a team that I can see really having some success and taking that division, or at least getting that wild card spot. But the Boston Red Sox are a team that probably had the best offseason, maybe the Dodgers, but the best offseason in the American League. Obviously, you added Alex Bregman, you added Garrett Crochet, so right there you improved offensive ability and you improved defensive ability. You got a great hitter. You got a great pitcher. Jaron Duran is a young, exciting player who I think will have a good season this year. He's going to take steps from last year and improve upon that, have a good season. I could actually see the Boston Red Sox being the surprise team in the AL East, maybe winning the division, if not really in there for the wild card spot. But I think it's a possibility that Boston might win this division, with Baltimore and New York potentially getting those wild card spots or battling it out. So I think that's going to be an exciting division this season. I think it's going to be really fun to watch those games in the AL East this season. Headed over to the National League. Starting out in the West, obviously the Dodgers are the Dodgers. They're the reigning champs. They only got better in the offseason, and a significant amount better, adding Blake Snell. They got two new pitchers, Yamamoto and Sasaki. That's going to improve. Shohei is Shohei. He's the best player in baseball right now. And is he going to be pitching sometime this season? All right. I'm not sure if they're going to be rushing him back to do that, but not only do you have his offensive ability, if he can get back to pitching kind of where he was with the Angels, you have just a boost in offensive and defensive pitching production. I think they're the team to beat. I believe that they're going to reach 100 or more games won this season. They already have 2-0 on their standings, but they're going to be a great team, obviously depending on, you know, how injuries and how the season plays out. But NL West, I think it's going to be hard for anyone to compete for that division other than the Dodgers. But San Diego always plays them well. They got Jackson Merrill, who's a young guy who had a great season last year, can improve upon that. I think they're going to progress from last season. They're going to be right in the mix as well. And the Diamondbacks, they're interesting because Diamondbacks led in a lot of offensive production last season. They scored the most runs in baseball last season. They were up there with triples and hits. So the offensive production was there last season, but they ultimately didn't make the playoffs. They did help that this season. They added Corbin Burnes to their pitching staff, who, you know, that's a boost right away. So Arizona is an interesting team for that wild card position. I think they're going to be battling it out with San Diego, but Arizona could be a surprise playoff team as well this season. Looking at the Central is probably the most winnable division in baseball right now. You know, there's not a team that you look at and you say, oh, they're going to be running away with this division. The Milwaukee Brewers won the division last season, and the Milwaukee Brewers are going to be probably the team to beat in that division. Jackson Chourio had a great spring training. You know, you got Christian Yelich, who is going to be back and healthy, and a healthy Christian Yelich for the Brewers is a scary Brewers team. So I think they're the team to beat in the division. You know, the Chicago Cubs lost Cody Bellinger, but they have some young guys, Pete Crow Armstrong. They just seem like kind of a scrappy team that I think are going to always play the Brewers well. It could kind of come down to the Brewers or the Cubs there. And then the Cincinnati Reds are one of those teams that is a team that has a lot of potential, but will they be able to reach that potential this season? It remains to be seen. Obviously, you have new management in there, Terry Francona, Hall of Fame manager, not yet, but surefire Hall of Fame manager, coming in there to help with a really young team. Ellie De La Cruz, probably the most exciting player in baseball. You know, not the best player in baseball, but the most exciting player in baseball with how, what he does defensively, how he gets in positions to make plays defensively, his speed, how he can steal home. You know, all of those things make him a very exciting player. They got Matt McClain back, who didn't play at all last season. They added some pitching and some other offensive production in the offseason. The only thing about them is, are they going to be too streaky? That's how they were last year. They lost a number of one-run games and had silly base running mistakes and silly plays in the field that really hurt them. Are they going to be streaky like they were last year? They're a young team, but you know, having Terry Francona at the helm there, he can't play in the field and do the things, but I think that leadership that he's going to provide to the Reds gives them a potential to go after that wild card spot. Again, will they be streaky? Will they be inconsistent? If they're on, I think they do have the potential to compete for that wild card position in the NL Central. And then Pittsburgh, you know, Paul Skenes is obviously rookie of the year last year. He's going to be great. O'Neill Cruz, he's great. He can hit a ton of power. You know, what's that going to look like for the rest of the team? I'm not sure. I can't see them competing for a wild card spot this season, but with Paul Skenes on the mound and O'Neill Cruz at the plate, you just never know. So it could be kind of a toss up with them as well. And then the NL East, probably the most competitive division. You know, maybe the AL East, again, competitive, but the NL East is just stacked. I mean, you got the Braves, who are going to be getting back Ronald Acuna Jr. this year. You're going to have Spencer Strider coming back. They added Jerickson Profar from the San Diego Padres. So the Atlanta Braves are going to be strong this year. I think they're going to be a team that is a wild card, at least if not competing for that division. And then the Philadelphia Phillies are the Philadelphia Phillies. They won the division last year. They still have a strong team offensively, and pitching staff is great. So the division is probably going to come down to the Braves or the Phillies. But obviously the Mets had an exciting season last year, and you added Juan Soto. So right off the bat, you know you're going to get more home runs. You know you're going to get more offensive production for them. It's going to be probably a three-headed race between the Braves, the Mets, and the Phillies. That's going to be exciting for the NL East this season to watch those games of those teams competing. The problem is that
you kind of wonder, are they going to beat each other, right? Like, are the Braves going to win a series or sweep the Mets? And then, you know, the Phillies are going to come around and sweep the Braves. And then, you know, the Mets are going to sweep the Phillies. So they're going to play each other a ton. And are they going to be hurting, you know, themselves by how they play against each other? Obviously, that's part of it. You got to play in the NL East. You got to play the teams in your division. But it will be interesting to see kind of that three-headed race between the Braves, the Mets, and the Phillies. And I do think that the Washington Nationals will be better this season. I don't think they're going to be competing for a wild card, but they have a young team. They have Dylan Cruz, who is kind of that sort of rising player in there. They have some other young players. I think that they can build upon what they're doing right now and have a little bit of better season. But again, when you have the Braves and you have the Mets and you have the Phillies all in your division, that's going to be tough ask for them to do. They just have to win a lot of their games that they play outside of the NL East, and I think they'll have a successful season this year, or at least a better season than they had last year. So we'll see at the end of the season if these predictions are even remotely close or if they are so far off, but it is a long season coming, which sounds awesome. Opening day on Thursday, it is starting. Baseball is back, folks. We made it through. I hope you enjoy opening day, and good luck to all of the teams that you root for. Until next time, we'll catch you later.